Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench. I have to tell you, we talked about it today a little bit on C2C, but the Ronaldo Champions League game winner for Man U. This guy, in extra time, no less. How unbelievable is this dude? Like, it is beyond me how, you know, the day before Messi has the big goal against City, and you see his damage that he's done against Premier League guys, you know, heavies in the Premier League. In Champions League matches against the top six in the Premier League that are in the Champions League, he destroys them with just tons of goals in his career. And then he did it again against City. And then a day later and a dollar short, your boy Cristiano Ronaldo hits the game winner in extra time for Man U against whoever it was. All I know is, boy, is the talk about him being finished premature. I mean, it's embarrassing because I think both of them are still, and I'm going to just say it again, top five in the world, bar none. I mean, bar none. And I mean, I might even, you know, be daring enough to say still 1-2.
Wow. Yeah. No, I think that right now at the level that they're both still playing at, you probably have to put them in the top five. And I think that Ronaldo's a little, he's ahead of Messi right now. They're both at the age that they're at. I still think he's a little bit more of an impactful player than me. Now, Messi has his moments. There's no doubt. I mean, he had it against Man City yesterday, but I just feel like Ronaldo at both of their ages still makes a bigger impact on the game than Messi does.
What about, so who do you put in there? Lewandowski, Salah, Lukaku, De Bruyne, yeah. Who do you put as the best players in the world right now still? Not anyone better than those two.
I think that you have to probably get Mbappe in the mix there. I think that...
Neymar?
Yeah, Neymar's got to be in there too. Neymar has to be.
Okay, now you got a top 10 right there. If you add those two, I've already given you six or seven.
I mean, there's a couple other guys. I mean, whether you, some people want to put Griezmann in there, I mean, he's had his moments, but he's probably shot now. I think that we've got the guys that you would put at the top of the heap. That's for sure.
Is that going to be the greatest signing ever? At this stage of his life and career, Can anyone top what Man U did to steal him?
Well, they have to win. They ought to win some hardware this year in order for it to pay off. They need to either win the Champions League or win the Premier League. They need to win some hardware. Because it's been a little while for them. They need some major hardware.
Here's your boy Machado with a home run. Should have done that 3 months ago, bro. Yeah. I mean, boy, were the Padres a disappointment, right? We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana, do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces, Hoorah, Soldier, Hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench on a midweek Where Do You Hurt Wednesday. All right, Carver High, you haven't told me who you like. Tomorrow night, there is college and pro football. Who do you like in the Bengals game? And then Miami and Virginia in college football.
I think it's very hard to go against the Bengals tomorrow night for several reasons. I mean, one, they're playing a team that's lost 18 games in a row. Two, this is the first time, you know, Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence are both in a situation like this, being in the NFL for the first year. Meyer's never had to coach an NFL game on 3 days rest on the road. Trevor Lawrence has never had to play on a road game with 3 days rest. You know, I just think that these are both, this is a really tough spot for a team that stinks already. This team already sucks, and now you're throwing them into a situation like this for the first time. I think the Bengals are, and it's probably going to be a laugher. I think they're going to really whack them.
Put a beating on them, huh?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think this has got like 3-touchdown win on it. Like, this is the kind of game I think they win like 31-10 or something like that. Give me that type of game.
I talked to Dan Hoard today, the voice of the Bengals and the Cincinnati Bearcats. He's obviously.
I got to bring something up with you after the break. Go ahead and talk about Dan.
So anyway, I just, you know, he knows they can't afford to blow this game, the Bengals. I mean, they go to Pittsburgh and kick the Steelers' ass, which never happens. And they now go home and play on national television in primetime on Thursday night against a crappy team. You have got to kick their ass.
You have to absolutely just put a stomp on them. I mean, that you think you have the best offense in the league, you're playing an awful team, you're at home, gotta rout this team.
By the way, Lewandowski had 2 goals today for Bayern Munich. Bayern Munch. One of them was a penalty kick. It's for all of it. Salvi with number 48 tonight, Carver High. 47 last night, 48 tonight. I think he left that game, though. But he did hit number 48 before he left the game.
Wow.
How about
what
Salvi?
A year. What a year for him, man. That is unbelievable, the season he's had. Too bad he's on the Royals.
So you still haven't told me what you think of the Lakers. Have you showed the picture of him today, the geriatrics team photo?
I do want to say one thing to you before we get to that. How about Machado putting this dopey necklace on with the last 2 months that the Padres have had completely choking? What, they have about a 10-game lead for that second wild card in late July, early August. And now you sit here, final couple days of the season, you might not even finish 500. You're losing still 5-3 after the homer, and they're walking around in the dugout putting the dopey big necklace with the Padre logo on everybody. Like, what are we doing here?
The turnover chain.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's like their version of the turnover chain. I guess when a guy hits a homer, they put it on somebody. Like, guys, the ship has sailed. Like, enough of the – there shouldn't be any fun in that dugout for the last few days. Like, you guys all better just go your separate ways. Enough with the nonsense. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm all for guys having fun, but, like, you guys, I mean, this is, like, ridiculous what's going on with the Padres the last 2 months, and we're still doing the dopey chain in the dugout with a couple days to go? Please. If I was a fan of that team, I'd be fuming. I'd be fuming if I was a fan of that team.
So you think they fire the French Tingler?
he's finished. Somebody's taking the fall here. And with everything that's gone on, you know, the whispers have been that he, you know, kind of let the players do whatever they want. You know, the stuff with Tatis and Machado a couple weeks ago. I think the Tingler, he's finished.
French Tingler, it'll be sad to see him go with one of the great nicknames of all time that we created for him
it
on
will.
Coast to Coast.
It will. I guess now when you go with a guy like this who's like kind of free and easy, what's basically if you fire him and bring another guy and you got to bring in like some like old hard ass, right? Isn't that how it works? Like you go from a guy who's very lenient to a guy who will really put the foot down at guys, like, you know, somebody like who do you hire?
You can't have the surfer chill, dude.
No, you need somebody who's going to throw the water cooler. Is that where you got to go? Rattle the cages?
A guy that gives them the business when they lose games and calls guys out.
Yeah.
Like Girardi.
Man, those uniforms are so sweet, though, too. Like these brown ones they're wearing tonight with San Diego across the front. And that little yellow trim. Yeah. I mean, that's
I guess
just,
those $400 Tatis jerseys are going to go down to $200 in the team store.
So anyway, about the Lakers. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the Lakers. Oh, here we go. The chicks are now bringing in the Eli Manning thing. They got Billie Jean King coming in on the Dodger Padre broadcast. Billie Jean King in the middle of a baseball game giving him advice. I've seen it all now.
Wow.
So apparently Melanie and Jessica have Billy on as a guest in the middle of the third inning here at Chavez Ravine. People have to get all caught up in that,
I don't like the mid-game interviews. Like even with the managers in the dugout, I think that's stupid. They give you nothing. I mean, you're not getting anything out of them. Like, let's call the game. Like, we're here to call the game. If we're not here to do an interview show. We do that before the game and after the game. During the game, can we stick to the game?
But I don't think like Billie Jean King can stay up that late after the
game. But whoever it is, and nothing against Billie Jean King, whatever. We know what they're doing here tonight on ESPN. It's really cool that they're doing it. I wish they, you know, they probably shouldn't have did it on the East Coast at 11:15 at night so nobody could watch it. But it is cool what they're doing. But aside from that, I don't care who's calling the game. I don't care if it's Melanie Newman, Jessica Mendoza, or Vin Scully. Like, I don't need somebody in the middle of the game doing an interview in a triple box. What happened to just focusing on the game? And this is the problem.
I know she's
baseball's boring and sucks, so they got to do stuff like this right now. This is what they need to do.
I think she's a legend, obviously, and
no doubt.
You know, far be it for me to question it, but what does she have to do with baseball?
Well, I think Well, obviously, what ESPN's doing here tonight, this is a significant thing. They have an all-woman broadcast booth on a nationally televised game on ESPN. It's a big moment, and we know how big in terms of women in sports Billie Jean King is. We get that. So I guess that I can't hear them. Obviously, we're doing
the
show.
That's the angle.
It's on mute. That's the angle. But I don't need it during the game. I don't need this stuff.
They should be I think it's great that they're doing the game. I'm totally 100% behind it. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I think it's fantastic. But I don't think. Frankly, it should be celebrated in the middle of the game. I think it should be celebrated after the game. Tomorrow, I think people should be talking about it, that they did it. And I just, for some reason, I guess initial response is in the middle of the game, a good game, it's, frankly, I think misplaced.
I don't disagree with you. I have no desire for any of this. In the middle of the game. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's needed. Just please call the game.
Let's celebrate the fact that you did it. Celebrate the fact that you did it after you did it, not throughout the night celebrating that you're doing it. It distracting from the game. Like, is it not hard to watch the Dodger-Padre game right now with Billie Jean King looking at you on your TV monitor?
Of course it is.
I mean, I got no problem with Billie Jean King. I'm telling you the truth. I just don't. I don't think it's necessary in the middle of the game.
I don't disagree.
It should be about that they're calling a game and call the game, do a great job, and then get accolades after. I mean, can you imagine Vin Scully doing this in the middle of a game?
No, I can't. I can't imagine anybody doing it. But they do this stuff on Sunday Night Baseball, too, with A-Rod and Vasgersian. They do this nonsense also. They do it all the time.
We get the the double and triple box going on the grid.
Yeah, we get that going. We get a little triple box action all the time.
There's a lot of action. There is a lot of action that is happening. I know what's not happening right now is our video.
How'd you know?
That is definitely not happening.
How'd you know?
I am, I know you just notified me of that, but I had already was aware of it by looking and seeing that it was gone. And I don't care anymore when it's gone, to be honest with you.
It
had to be honest with you, like sitting there doing it all these years and days and nights, whatever, it's kind of, I guess, painful to sit there and look at yourself, looking at yourself doing the show. You know what I mean? It's like sitting in front of a mirror doing it. You know what I mean?
Yes, similar. That's kind of what it's like.
Well, when you did it, when I was not there last Tuesday night, did you like stare at yourself in the mirror? That's what it's like.
We did not do the video last Tuesday night, but I did it when I did it last, when maybe the last, when was it? Maybe late last year or one of the last times you were off, I did it with the video. Yes, it's like staring at yourself.
I think you're going to be doing it a lot in October and November and December.
Yes, that is true.
And you'll get the full meal deal. You'll get the real deal Holyfield. You'll get the whole, you know, mirror image effect then, where you're just sitting there doing the show looking at yourself. I mean, it's hard for me, as pretty as I am, to do it. You know what I mean? I'm as pretty as a girl. So for me to, like, look at myself for 2 hours is not a big deal because of my handsome demeanor. I have no idea what I'm saying at this point. Billie Jean King has me thrown off my game. So Friday night, Iowa plays Maryland and BYU plays Utah State in Logan. And it's Iowa laying 3, BYU laying 8.5. Also that night, Houston 3-1 taking on Tulsa 1-3. Are you surprised that Tulsa is favored by 4.5 over a 3-1 Cougar team? And is that a sucker play right there? And then what do you think of Iowa laying 3 to Maryland in College Park against Tua's little brother and BYU, who did not cover against South Florida? We both hit that game last week. How do you feel about them playing Utah State laying 8.5 after Utah State got whacked by Boise State?
Well, look, I was all over Utah State last week. I thought that they would have a big showing against Boise at home. They just... It's weird. In the first half, they moved the ball up and down the field. Like, they missed a field goal. They had a field goal blocked. They had just all sorts of nonsense. And then Boise pulled away from the second half. I'm down on Utah State. And if this number stays under 10, I like BYU. I think that this is a game where BYU flexes a little muscle in a TV game on a Friday night. You're right about the Tulsa line. It's extremely fishy. Like, it's weird. I think I like Tulsa, actually. I think just because of the weirdness of it, I think that I'm leaning towards the Golden Hurricane in that game over Houston. But the game I'm really focused in on is this Maryland-Iowa game, which is a big game. I mean, Maryland's 4-0, Iowa's 4-0. And I think Maryland's going to win the game outright, Scotty. Outright win for Maryland. I think they beat Iowa on Friday night in College Park. How about that?
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm on Iowa, and I'm also on Houston, even though I agree with you that it's, as I said, fishy, the 4.5. I pounced on Houston at that number, but I guess it smells like teen spirit to me, like something
fishies going on that Tulsa will probably win the game. But I went the other way. I went with Houston. You didn't tell me who you like in the Miami-Virginia game tomorrow night at Hard Rock in Miami. Miami, I guess, laying 4, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, I actually...
5.5 now.
What I like the most out of this game is actually the over, because Virginia's defense is awful, and Miami also hasn't shown me enough from their D. Here's my problem with betting Miami. Like, they're probably going to win. They're probably going to cover, but, like, they lose to Alabama. You think, all right, they're going to bounce back against App State. They don't cover. They beat App State but don't cover. You think they're going to bounce back against Michigan State. They get their ass beat. And I don't care what they did last week against Central Connecticut State. That's nonsense. That tomato can game. So it's hard for me to keep thinking Miami's going to come back. Miami's going to come back. I'm tired of getting burned by them. Like, it's just they haven't covered a real game yet this year. And I could see them winning tomorrow night but struggling at times too. So I'm very leery about Miami tomorrow night, but I do think there's going to be a lot of points. I think they're going to score.
Isn't that weird that they are, you know, 2-2 after they, and I don't even consider that Central Connecticut a game.
Yeah, that was not, so that's nonsense.
To me, they're 1-2.
Yeah.
And they were a Hail Mary from, losing to Appalachian State. If they don't hit a big pass, they lose that game and then they're 0-3. But I actually is it not stunning to you that they have, which they have, they've recruited well and they have a lot of talent, speed, dynamic athletes at Miami that play on the football team, and they still suck. I mean, is it not amazing to you that the recruiting job that they've done with the talent they've pulled back down into Miami, that they've kept in state, that they have the talent that they have on that team, they have talent all over that team. And they suck. Can you believe that they have that much talent and they absolutely can't get out of their own way?
And this is a year where, honestly, even though they're off to this start, you know, 1-2, like you said, this is their first ACC game. This is a year where they can win the ACC. Clemson's not good this year. Like, we've seen it already. Like, this isn't the same Clemson team. They're a beatable team. The ACC's there for the taking. I mean, Miami doesn't play in it. They're on the other side. They're on the coastal. Like, they got to get things moving here. And if they don't, I think this is going to be the last year that Manny Diaz is the coach. I think he's done after this year. If they don't get anything substantial going here, and then he's already behind the eight ball with the way they've played the first month. If he doesn't do anything substantial here in these eight ACC games, I think he's getting whacked. He's finished. Done. Because you want to know why he's got Ed Reed sitting over his shoulder now too, and you know they're
you
dying.
You give Ed Reed that job in a minute.
I mean, I don't know if I would, but I know that there's plenty of people down in Miami who will.
Right. So you still haven't told me after hearing Dan Hoard today talk about the Bearcats going in there to South Bend on Saturday with Ritter, the quarterback. But the reality is, strangely enough, Cohn actually has more touchdowns than Ritter. Cohn's not even mentioned for the Heisman. Ritter's on the list. Notre Dame, odds on, even though they're dogs in that game, most people believe that they're going to win that football game without a doubt. I guess I'm one of the crazy suckers that's going with Cincinnati in the upset. But, have you changed your opinion at all of the game?
No, I have not. I just believe that this is a step up in class for Cincinnati. It is. This is not a place that they have gone to in the last 2 years when they've had this ascension. They're going to South Bend. They're going to the Golden Dome. This is and nothing against Indiana or Bloomington. This is a different animal what they're going into this week. They're not going to the bounce house at Central Florida or going to play Memphis. You know, or any of these teams. And they deserve this opportunity. They've been an extremely good football team for the last 2 years. But, and I'll tell you, that not a lot of people are talking about this either. Notre Dame took their defensive coordinator in the offseason, too. So he was with them last year for that season. I'm sure he's got pretty good knowledge of that, of Ritter and that whole team, considering he was just with them a year ago. And I think that that's going to play a factor. Notre Dame's strength is their defense. I think the Irish find a way. They're not blowing them out. This is going to be a really good football game, but I think Notre Dame is going to beat Cincinnati.
So Cincinnati plays at Notre Dame. Let's say they win. Hypothetically, yes. They win the game. Then they go home to face Temple.
Right.
Then they face Central Florida at home.
Yeah.
And then they go to Navy, and Navy sucks this year. They're winless. Then they go to Tulane. They're 1-3. They suck. They play Tulsa at home, and everybody thinks Tulsa is going to beat Houston tomorrow, and they're 1-3. And then they play at South Florida, another crappy team.
Yep,
The hardest game they got, they have at home with SMU in right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, both the hard games.
Right after Thanksgiving, they play at East Carolina. Literally, in my view, if they beat Notre Dame, they win out and go undefeated.
I believe. Look, I was just going to say to you, if they do win this game on Saturday, they better not screw it up. Okay, because if they win this game, the door's there for them. I do believe, because of how crazy everything has been, that if they are undefeated with a win at Notre Dame, they're going to be able to get into that spot, whether it's the fourth slot, whatever. But they need to finish the job. Now, you just said it. Their two hardest games in conference are both at home, which is Central Florida and SMU. They have both those games in their place. And the road games that they have, they're going to be substantial favorites in all of them. If they do finish this, get the job done Saturday, they better not screw it up through the rest of the year, because they're going to have an opportunity to play in the playoff.
So tell me what you think of Arkansas's chances at Athens, because 18.5 is an insult after the job they did on A&M. They get no respect whatsoever. And what I have to say is this. Why not? Why not go to Athens and beat them too with the confidence that they're packing on? I mean, they are packing it on. I mean, they are not going camping with one case of beer. They're bringing 20 cases, and they got a keg on tap the minute they break ground on the tents. I'm telling you, this team is as confident as any team in America. And they're going down to Athens, and they know that no one in their right mind thinks they can win that game. They're getting 18.5. They're getting no respect at all from Vegas. So why not go down there and beat them?
Now, I love the points here. I think the 18.5, this is – Arkansas is too good of a team. I don't think that they're going to get blown out in this game. In terms of them winning the game outright, here's what worries me. They played such a physical game with Texas A&M, and the quarterback got banged up. Like, he could barely finish the game out. Like, he was hobbling around the whole second half. That KJ Jefferson, that worries me, because they need him at his best for them to have any chance to beat Georgia on Saturday. And Georgia had like a little walk in the park against Vandy, you know, a little 62-0 whack job. And Arkansas had a tough physical game that they ended up winning, and the quarterback got hurt. That scares me, but I like the 18.5 either way.
God, wouldn't you love to see him?
I'd love to see him lose.
God,
I'd love to see him lose.
It's 5-4 now, Dodgers. Runners on second and third with two outs in the fourth. Ever since Billie Jean King came on, the Padres have been getting involved. It's Ferrell and a Bench. We'll keep talking about the big college games and some pro games with Carver High. So the dumbest thing ever invented, the ESPN match predictor. Have you ever seen this thing where they predict every game based on, I guess, algorithms or something? I
have yes, no charts and graphs.
It says
charts and graphs.
Charts and graphs. It says here that Georgia 89% chance of winning the game.
Wow.
On Saturday, which gives
that's it, huh?
Arkansas a 10% chance to win the game. How in God's name is both teams 4-0 and Arkansas has impaled Texas and Texas A&M, impaled both of them. and they get no chance whatsoever to win that game. I mean, 10%, 90 to 10. I mean, that's like, why even go play the game? So I've never understood that at all. As well as, here's another one. Michigan and Wisconsin in Madtown, and Michigan 69% chance to win the game, and Wisconsin 31. Now, I mean, where do they come up with this stuff? Like,
yeah,
you know, boring Michigan, who finally it only took 5 years, but you know, Harbaugh's teams have been anemic, and now all of a sudden they're 4-0 and they've rung it up. Against everybody. Basically, they beat up Western Michigan, Washington, they blew out Northern Illinois, they smoked 63-10. They barely beat Rutgers, but they have them just going in, and you know, 70% they're going to kill Wisconsin.
Yeah, now,
you can't deny that Wisconsin game with Notre Dame was really good when it was 10-all. And I don't know what the hell happened, because I blinked and I went to drop a yam. I came back, it was 40-10. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened.
Well, what happened was is that once Notre Dame got up a score after that long touchdown pass, you know, Wisconsin had to try to throw the ball, and they can't throw. Wisconsin is a bully team. They want to run the football. They want to pound you at the line. They want to get up, and then they want to run the football some more. That's their game. And when they get down a score, get down two scores, and Mertz has to start throwing the ball, you get the multiple pick sixes that he had in the game because he stinks. So they need to be a bully team. And guess what? Michigan don't throw the ball either now. I think they got like the most percentage of rushing attempts in the entire country so far after 4 weeks. So this is going to be who's going to bully who first. Who's going to run the football the best in the first half? And then whoever gets down in the second half, their quarterbacks both stink, so they're going to make mistakes. That's what this comes down to, and that's how Wisconsin lost this game to Notre Dame last week. I'm with you. I think everybody's got to pump the brakes on Michigan. I mean, let's relax here a little bit. I think they're going to lose on Saturday, honestly. I think Wisconsin's going to beat them up there.
I do, too. Do you think, you know, Georgia Tech beat up North Carolina?
Yeah.
They gave Clemson fits. Will they beat Pitt in Bobby Dodd in Atlanta?
Yes. I'm in on Georgia Tech now. After watching both those games the last 2 weeks, the close loss to Clemson, and then the way that they just absolutely dismantled North Carolina, I'm all in on Georgia Tech getting points at home against Pitt. Pitt's not that good of a team either. Pitt's not great. Not a good football team. So I'm buying in a little bit on the Yellow Jackets, which means they'll probably, you know, screw me this week. You know, they'll go back to the old Georgia Tech. But for now, I'm going to ride them. I'm backing them this week.
TCU at Carter Stadium in Fort Worth, taking on Texas. Everybody and their brothers on Texas, 69% here, think that Texas are going to win. The charts and graphs people, we'll just call them that from now on instead of the simulator or the predictor or whatever the hell it's called. But I still, you know, I got to be honest. I know TCU's had a lot of success against Texas in the last few years, several years. I still think Texas is going to go in there and beat them.
Yeah, 7 of their last 9, I believe, TCU's beaten them straight up in this series. They have not been successful against them, but Sarkisian comes in. I think they found something in the offense here the last couple weeks since they got absolutely throttled by Arkansas. I think the streak gets broken here. I think that Texas actually goes to Fort Worth, and they beat TCU. I think it's a close game. I think 5's a tough number either way. But I do believe that Texas is going to find a way to finally beat these guys.
Alabama is home in Tuscaloosa land. 2 touchdowns and a hook.
Yeah.
To Ole Miss and their popular quarterback.
Yes.
Corral.
Heisman leader, Matt Corral. Favorite Whatever. Right now to win the Heisman. Here's my problem in this game. Last year, they played in Oxford, and Ole Miss actually rang up like 600 yards of offense or something on Alabama, and they still lost by 20. This is tough. I think that Ole Miss is a little bit better this year. As we saw with Alabama 2 weeks ago against Florida, maybe there are some cracks that you could find, but I don't believe this is going to be the team that finds them. I think that they're going to try to play a shootout with Alabama. And Nick Saban's going to be ready for that. And he's just going to try to go right over the top of him and say, you want to go ahead? Because eventually a defense is going to have to make a play. And I'd put my money on Alabama's defense making a play before Ole Miss's.
How about Bryce Young? 1,124 yards and 15 touchdowns to basically just under 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns for Corral. How can you say he's the Heisman favorite when, I mean, Young's already doing him? I mean, he's got 6 more touchdowns. I mean, what's this about? Stats, right? He's got more yards, more TDs.
A lot more. I think it's just, I think right now people want to find a way to not give it to somebody on Alabama because it feels like somebody from Alabama wins every year the last few years. That's just kind of how the, you know, how the cookie's been crumbling lately with them. You know, you've had, Devonta Smith last year. You had Tua. Of course, you know, Hurts was in the mix the year before. There's just people They're tired of seeing Alabama always win these things. But here's the problem. The reason why somebody on Alabama wins every year is because they win the national title almost every year. So that's why. Young's going to probably win.
Oklahoma and Kansas State in Manhattan. And
a little apple.
Ohio State at Rutgers in Piscataway.
Yeah, I know that you're – believe me, like I told you, I'll drive to Piscataway and run on the field. I don't care if they've already cleared it, but if they actually beat Ohio State on Saturday. That would be unbelievable. But I do like the number. Shiano, he's got Rutgers playing hard, and we haven't been impressed with Ohio State at all. The Oklahoma game, if they hadn't lost to him the last 2 years, I'd feel a little bit more strongly that they could be beat. I still like the number with Kansas State. Both teams have been anemic offensively here the first few weeks, so maybe under is a nice play. But they got to beat Kansas. They can't lose 3 years in a row to Kansas State, can they? The mighty Sooners of Oklahoma going to lose 3 years in a row to Kansas State? Come on.
Well, they're not even mighty. How's that?
Yeah, well, you're right.
Mighty. Florida's in Lexington laying 8.5 to the Wildcats.
I think that Kentucky is going to push them a little bit here. I think Florida wins, but Kentucky at home, they are a really good physical defensive team. I think they're going to be able to stop some of the things that Florida does. If this stays over a touchdown, I might be willing to jump in on Kentucky here. I think they lose, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Mississippi State and A&M and Kyle Field in College Station, do they rebound from the beating in Jerry's World at the hands of Arkansas and cover the 7 against Mike Leach?
As long as Calzone is still playing, I'm not back in Texas A&M. And Calzone is still in there, so give me Mike Leach, baby. I'll take the points because Calzone stinks. I will not back Texas
really
A&M until they get that other kid back. That kid cannot play.
Penn State.
He can't play.
And Indiana in Happy Valley, PSU laying 12 and a hook. That's a lot of points. But I think Indiana looks really bad. And if Cincinnati can kick their ass, what do you think Penn State's going to do to them?
I know. Like, it's weird because we obviously got very hyped up by what Indiana did last year and how well they played in the Big Ten. You know, every week you thought it was finally going to be over, and they just kept winning every week. And now this year, you think that they're eventually going to snap out of it, and they just look worse and worse every week. I mean, even last week, you know, they, like, struggled with Western Kentucky, right? I mean, they barely hung on to beat them at home.
Right.
And now they're going to Penn State, who we know what happened last year. You know, a lot of people feel the refs gave the game to Indiana with the play at the end with Banks hitting the pylon. Penn State's playing really well right now. I got to back Penn State, even laying the points.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go well for Indiana in
I don't either.
Valley at all. Auburn and LSU in the Bayou in Baton Rouge, LSU laying 3.5 at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I'm taking Auburn, actually. I like Auburn with the points, especially if it stays over 3. LSU's defense sucks. Okay, they are not good. Okay, we saw it against UCLA. We've seen it a couple times over the last year and a half. This is not the team that won the title 2 years ago. They're not very good defensively. And I think that Auburn's going to, you know, probably try to bully him a little bit with Bigsby. But I like Auburn here catching the points.
How about this Arizona State UCLA game at the Rose Bowl? It's a pretty good game. Late night, 10:30 on FS1. UCLA laying 3. That could be a 1 or 2 point game. Is it too many points even the way they're both 3-1?
I got to tell you, I have watched 2 complete Arizona State games over the first 4 weeks, basically because of late night degenerate situations. I've watched them play 2 entire games, including last week against Colorado. I don't think they're very good. I don't think Arizona State's that great. And UCLA has shown me enough this year that I think that they're going to be able to score a lot more than Arizona State just doesn't. Their offense is very pedestrian. And even you look at their scores and it's like, well, 35 points, 35. They work very hard for that 35 points. I feel like UCLA is going to score a lot on them. It's going to be a wild game. And I just don't think Arizona State's going to be able to keep up with them.
Yeah. And that's about really the gist of it. I mean, there's a
for the
ton
big
of
games,
other games.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as far as big games, I think we hit all of them. The rest of them are average at best. I really don't think any of them are worth mentioning or writing home about.
No, we'll go through the whole slate Friday night with Joe. Friday night with Joe will really hammer through a bunch of the other ones.
Yeah, what did you think of Sherman getting a deal with Tampa? That he's going to be with the Bucks now. Every guy, Josh Gordon, or where did he go? Kansas City, and then this guy Sherman goes to Tampa.
And it can't hurt him, right? I mean, they're already last in the league in pass defense, even though the guy's, you know, getting out of the rocker at the nursing home to go and play
off the sofa.
I mean, honestly, like the guy's been doing nothing. I know he was waiting around for the right spot. I know he found it here, but. He's not going to play this week. He said he needs at least a week to get himself ready. I don't think it's going to help him much. I think they need other things.
James White of the Patriots, the running back hip injury, he's done for the rest of the year. Heard it last week. He's done for the year. All right, we'll come back and wrap it up from New York. It's Pharrell on the bench. All right, so the Padres caught the Dodgers and Max Scherzer. They were up, what, 5-1? And it's
yes.
5-all now. And they're in the bottom of the fifth going to it at Chavez Ravine, 5-apiece. A huge game for them. The Dodgers have to win. The Giants are scoreless, bottom 7, runner at first, nobody out at Oracle against the D-backs. And then the A's, top 6. Runner at first, 2 outs, lead the Mariners in Seattle 1-0. The games that mattered tonight, the Jays beat the Yankees 6-5, the Red Sox 6-0. Toronto's still a game back of Boston. The Braves beat the Phillies 7-2. The Cardinals' 17-game winning streak ended, and that's it. That's all that matters. Everything else is irrelevant, these other games. The Rays beat the Astros, Royals over the Indians, White Sox over the Reds. The Reds are finished. It's over. The Cardinals are in. The Angels beat the Rangers. Nobody cares. The Twins won. No one cares.
The
Marlins beat the Mets. Nobody cares. Rockies beat the Nationals. Nobody cares. Cubs over the Pirates. No one cares.
The Rays actually did clinch home field throughout the American League, although I don't know how you could call it a home field, but home field advantage, but they did clinch that tonight with the win over the Astros.
So tomorrow night, you got the Jaguars at the Bengals and Virginia at Miami in college football. So we got that going for us. And the third and final game of that, Yankees and Jays in Toronto. We'll see you at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon Eastern on Coast to Coast. For Carver High, I'm Pharrell. Good night.